Shabbat Shalom. Hear me okay? Can you hear me better now? Our parasha for this Shabbat is Ki Tisa, meaning when you take or carry out the taking up of a census. I call it whatever your hand finds to do. It covers Exodus chapters 30 through 34. Included in these chapters is the command to sanctify with sacred oil the tent of meeting and everything and everyone associated with it. I'd like us to consider for a few moments what is a strange and troubling contrast that occurs between chapter 31 and 32. In chapter 31, we're introduced to Bezalel and Oholiab, two men uniquely gifted with artistic ability and commissioned by God to produce the many beautiful and ornate furnishings for the tent of meeting. Together with the men of what would be the equivalent of their artisan's guild, as it were, these men faithfully and lovingly executed the divinely designed place of worship. At the end of chapter 31, God reminded Moses of the seriousness of the Sabbath, calling it a sign between he and our people throughout our generations. After this, God gave Moses the tablets which he himself had inscribed, and were suddenly reminded that everything recorded between chapters 19 and 31 took place between Adonai and Moshe on top of Mount Sinai. Meanwhile, trouble was afoot down in the camp. When Moses' absence was prolonged, our people panicked. We urged Aaron to craft an idol, this in spite of the fact that just 6 weeks earlier, God met us personally at Mount Sinai and warned us not to make idols for ourselves. Well, Aaron capitulated. He gave in to their wishes, instructing the people to bring him their fine jewelry, and he took their golden earrings and performed a little artistry of his own. He produced an abomination, a golden calf, and our people collectively declared, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Our people sacrificed to that idol, then sat down to eat, and then the scriptures employ a euphemism, rose up to play, which is a figure of speech still used in some places to refer to illicit sexual activity. God told Moses to go down quickly, saying, "Your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Moses pleaded on Israel's behalf, but said to the Lord that they were your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt. Moses interceded with God to be merciful for the sake of the patriarchs and on account of his covenant promises to Israel. On account of Moses' plea, the fact that he interposed himself between Israel and a righteously angry God, we were spared. But there would be consequences. Moses came down the mountain. This sounds like a spiritual, doesn't it? Moses came on down the mountain and saw the wickedness going on. In anger, he threw down and smashed the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Then Moses drew that proverbial line in the sand and said, "Whoever is for Adonai, come to me." And out of the entire nation, all 12 tribes of Israel, only the tribe of Levi actually came forward, were willing to stand up for what was right. 3,000 of the leaders of that rebellion were put to death that day. It's a tragic, chapter in our history. And the fact that it's placed centrally in this part of the Torah, it actually interrupts a narrative about the building of the tabernacle. It interrupts it, but this is quite intentional. Consider the abilities that God has given to the sons of men, to Bezalel and Oholiab, God gave gifts and talents in artistry and craftsmanship. He apparently gave Aaron artistic abilities sufficient for Aaron to produce that golden calf. So my question, what are your hands producing? There's an old saying that goes, who you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. The same skilled hands that have the potential to create a thing of unparalleled beauty also have the capacity to produce a disgusting and reprehensible image. The same gifted minds and hands can produce a piece of music that elevates the human soul and drives the imagination heavenward, but also has the capacity to produce a vulgar, corrupt, and self-serving cacophony, leaving souls hellbound. There's some powerful lessons that I think we had better take away from Parashat Ki Tisah. Only one out of the 12 tribes was willing to do the right thing, willing to stand up for Adonai that day. Never, ever confuse a majority opinion with the truth. A majority never, ever makes something right. It will never excuse your wrong choices or your wrong actions. Number two, if Moses had not placed himself squarely between the wrath of God and our people, the entire nation would have been obliterated in judgment. This illustrates the fact that we Jewish people have always needed a middleman. In fact, on many occasions, Moses had to intercede for the nation. In this way, Moses was a type of the Messiah to come, who would interpose himself and give himself and take the punishment that was due us. Third, a veneer of religious activity, after all, that golden calf was a religious thing. A veneer of religious activity does not transform what is evil into what is good. Aaron attempted to sanitize the making of an idol by saying, tomorrow will be a feast to Adonai. We must not confuse spirituality with theological reality. God is real, and he is holy, and we had better not ignore or reinterpret his instructions. Finally, do you have musical or artistic skills? If you do, it's because you were given those skills, those gifts by God. Don't neglect those talents. Put them to use. Now, don't take credit for those talents, but give God the glory. But put them to use. And don't ever pervert those talents so that they serve self and Satan. Not everything that is called art is necessarily worthy. Make sure the things that your hands are producing are God-honoring and beneficial to the human soul. Amen.